Well, good afternoon, everyone. One of the advantages, if you want to term it that, is when you have the second message, you can make it long or you can make it short. And as Mr. Keller was saying, perhaps you like it short and move out and enjoy some food. But we'll see how long it takes. It is afternoon, so I'll say good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
And it's such a gorgeous day out there. Wow, I hope you appreciate the beautiful weather. Now, we've gone through roller coaster rides of weather conditions with warm temperatures just a couple, maybe a week or so ago, back to cold temperatures, rain, sleet, snow, and a whole package of winter. And we know that the spring holy days are coming, but we're not there yet. We still have to deal with a few more weeks of winter, and hopefully we can get through that and look forward to the spring holy days, which is always a joyful time. Well, I'm not going to talk about the holy days today, at least not specifically. But how many have gone on a journey? If you want to raise your hands, you can. Don't be embarrassed. Well, I'm going to tell you that every one of us is going on a journey. Now, you may not realize it, but after today, you will. Yes, we're all going on a journey. And as we go on a journey, there's things we got to do to prepare for the journey. There's very essential needs that we need to take on our journey. If you're going on an airplane, perhaps you want to take clothing, luggage, a variety of assortment of things that you'll need for wherever your destination may take you for your journey as you take your plane trip. Or whether it's a train, or if you're taking a journey by car, perhaps you want to take some food and water along with you. These are essentials. I've always said when I traveled, it's nice to have food and water with you when you take a journey. These are all essential needs. But we are taking a journey, each and every one of us. And then that is the journey of life. We're all going to be taking a journey of life. Now, how can we make our journey of life work? I just want to read a few things to you. And then I want to encourage you, because we have an essential need for our journey of life. And I'm going to discuss that with you shortly. But frankly, life just isn't working for some people. Did you realize that? There are some people that just life is not working. Maybe you noticed about the incredible amount of literature that's out there on self-help books, and there's many of them, a variety in stores and library bookshelves. You can go there and find information on virtually any subject that you choose. These self-help books are supposed to help make life more pleasurable, more manageable. But for life, some people say it's just not working. Why are so many self-help books being published? Because life's not working for many people. That's why they're being published. Could it be simply that because people recognize that they need help with so many problems that it's just overwhelming, and that their life is in confusion, there's challenging, there's stress just of everyday life. And it's a tough road. It's a tough journey for some people. Writers and publishers recognize this, and so books are coming out. And there'll probably be new books next week, and the week after, and perhaps next year. And it's interesting. Some say this is the year of the end of the world, so maybe the books won't be written. But we know that false prophets are among us, and that those who predict and know the day, they will end up being false prophets. But brethren, you may not realize it, but most families already have the best book necessary for guidance in life. And I think you all know what I'm referring to, and that is the Bible. This is our essential need for our journey of life. It's the Bible. Now, the Bible is translated in hundreds of languages. So it's not just a book for Americans. It's a book for international languages. Its words have been around for thousands of years, and we realize that. We understand that. This book, of course, the Bible, although it's been considered the bestseller, and I would say very few people probably don't have a Bible in their home, because many times from generation to generation, the Bible was handed down. And there are family Bibles that have hundreds of years of age on them. And they've been passed from one generation to another, the Bible. And so it's probably one of our most valuable assets that we have. Now, I talked about the Holy Spirit several weeks ago, and I said that that was probably the greatest gift that Jesus Christ and God the Father gave us. And that's true. That's one of the greatest gifts that we receive, and that was the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Bible, the words of God, are right up there also as one of the greatest gifts that God the Father and Jesus Christ gave us. So we can utilize this book as we take our incredible life journey. Although it's been the top seller, and it's sad to say, and many people have it in their homes, it's probably one of the few read books. It's hard to imagine. You have a book in your home that has value and tremendous knowledge for each and every one of us in our journey of life, and yet it's one of the few books that has been read. It's a timeless book. I think we all realize that from generation to generation. It fills the needs as to why we are here. Why did God create us? Where are we going in life? Questions like, what are the solutions to humans' problems? You'll find them in the Bible. And that can be tremendously encouraging. It's filled with practical, down-to-earth advice from our Creator. Again, wonderful guidelines that we can utilize for our journey in life. It helps us to see and avoid the pitfalls that many people fall into. I mentioned earlier that life's just not working for many people. Well, we can avoid the pitfalls that many fall into along the way as we journey through life. The Bible's filled with, I mentioned, about practical down-to-earth advice from our Creator. But you know, mankind has a way of ideas and his own concepts of what he thinks. And let's look at Proverbs. Proverbs 14. Now this verse has been used many, many times. And I think you know what I'm going to refer to. Proverbs 14. And let's look at verse 12. We can also look at Proverbs 16 if you want to write that one down also. Proverbs 16, verse 25, but I'm going to emphasize Proverbs 14, 12. Proverbs 14, 12 says, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, this is how the majority of society has walked in their own ways. They have not utilized the manual that God and Jesus Christ designed for mankind, the Bible. But their ways, they feel, is better. And so they live alternate lifestyles. And I'll just use that as the phrase. Now that can be referred to many different things. But that's what society does. They live an alternate lifestyle, opposite of what the Bible teaches. Those who take the time to study the Bible find that this is a timeless book. And it is. It doesn't matter what generation you find yourself in. It's a timeless book. It addresses the ageless issues that we all need to know, and we all need to help guide us along the way. It clearly shows the principles of cause and effect, that our choices and actions, good and bad, produce both good and bad results. The Bible will teach us that. It's filled with sound counsel on how to have happy marriages, how to have happy families, counsel on how to have friendships. I find that interesting, especially for teenagers. That can be very, very helpful. Friendships. How to raise proper children and guidance and direction for child rearing. How to manage family financing. And right now, that's a struggle for a lot of people with unemployment, the rising cost of many things. Finances are struggling. And success on the job. And I'm going to refer to that a little later. I have a little humorous letter that I received from someone, and I'm going to refer to success on the job. How to manage health. The Bible teaches us how to manage health. Again, wonderful, wonderful advice. And so much more that if we would take the time to study the Bible on a daily basis and on a weekly and on a monthly and a yearly basis, it will help us in our journey in life. So let's take a journey. Let's take a journey in life. Now, where does the journey begin? Well, I feel the journey begins at birth. And if some say at conception, and perhaps that may be even more correct than what I say, but once a child is born and takes its first breath, the journey begins. And every one of us was a child that was born. Our parents conceived us, and we can rejoice at that. And they brought forth life, and each and every one of us began our journey of life. So as we progressed from birth into childhood, it was a journey, and we had to rely on our parents and perhaps brothers and sisters, if we had older brothers and sisters, perhaps grandparents, perhaps aunts and uncles. Each situation is unique and different for everyone. Those who didn't have parents, perhaps the parents died, and there have been situations where mothers have died in childbirth, or fathers have been killed in accidents. Children were raised with maybe just a single parent. And so the process varies for each individual. But it starts at childbirth. And as they progress, the Bible teaches us that we are to teach our children God's way of life. Now, I look at the children here in the congregation, and I say you have one of the greatest blessings in the fact that your parents are in God's church, that they're teaching you God's way of life, and you have a unique opportunity that perhaps your parents did not have, or perhaps some of us that are older may have never experienced. But eventually we did learn about God's way, and we were able to come into the understanding of God's way of life. But you have it from the very beginning as children. Now, I just want to see a show of hands. How many grew up as a child? Now, when I say child, I'm going to throw a little bit of leeway here. From birth to, say, age 6. I want to see a show of hands. Okay. From age birth to 6. That's a child. I'm going to say it's in a child's category. Okay, there's a large percentage, and even some adults that fall in that category. And that's the way it's supposed to be. God wanted it that way. He wanted it from generation to generation. Families united together, learning God's way. In Deuteronomy, and I'm not going to turn there, but you know what I'm referring to. Deuteronomy 6. We're told that we are to teach our children God's ways. And so the responsibility falls on the parents of raising the children to be taught God's way of life. It's a wonderful and it's a unique opportunity for each and every one of us who are parents. And that includes grandparents. Don't ever rule out the grandparents. They're a vital, important part of child rearing as well. So keep them in part of your child rearing. But as the child grows and continues into the teenage years, the Bible tells us, children, rejoice in your youth. And I hope you do. I really do. I hope our children can say they're rejoicing in their youth. And if not, then I want to encourage you to read the Bible more if you need to. Again, sometimes children don't always want a Bible study on a regular basis, but parents, encourage your children to read the Bible. And as you're teaching them and they're growing and developing, hopefully they will be grounded into the teachings that God wants us to teach our children. Now let's continue with life. As we progress through the teenage years, we develop friendships. Now I mentioned the Bible can teach us about friendship. How we deal with one another is so important. Because as we look out in society, unfortunately, many individuals have been developing friendships, but those friendships are not proper according to the Bible. People will use individuals for their needs and their benefit. Rather, for the good of others, they'll have friendships for their advantage. Well, you'll find that and I found this out growing up as a teenager, you'll have friends in the church and you'll have friends outside the church. And it's hard sometimes when the friends that you think in the church are your best friends, they turn out to be sometimes turn against you. And that's hard. But that's part of life. That's the journey that we're walking. And we will have friends come and go in our lifetime. Many will continue, and some will be our best friends. And I was very fortunate. I married one of my best friends. So I've been very fortunate that I met Linda at a young age of teenage years, and we became friends, and through the years we developed a close relationship, and then eventually we did marry. So I was very fortunate I married one of my best friends. And many of you can say the same. Many of the parents said, I married one of my best friends. And that's, again, what the Bible encourages us to do. To grow and develop in the walk of life and the journey that we live. Now, I'm not saying the journey of life is going to be a picnic. Okay? I hope you don't think it's lolly-dolly and everything's wonderful and we're all going to make it into the kingdom and we're all going to have a wonderful time. Well, the journey of life is filled with a variety of courses. And I've mentioned many times, life is like a roller coaster ride. And that is so true. You're going to have highs and you're going to have lows and you're going to have curves and you're going to fall off the track. And you have to get back on along the way. For those who fall off the track and fail to get back on, that's one of the tragedies of life's journeys. Some have fallen off the track. But brethren, God wants us to get back on the track. When we fall and stumble and struggle, we've got to get back on the track. We've got to get back on the journey. And God expects us to. That's what He's watching and observing. And is He seeing? Are we growing? Are we developing? Are we holding on to the faith that He's given us? The times ahead are going to test us. It's not going to be easy times ahead. And I don't want anyone thinking that, like I say, it's going to be a picnic. But it's not going to be totally difficult either. God said He'll always be with us. And that's the encouraging thing that each and every one of us can encourage one another. Keep in mind, however, that just because the advice in the book is there, it doesn't mean it's easy to follow. It's hard sometimes to follow. It takes effort. Trying to live by the Bible's instruction is very challenging. And you will be tested by your friends as you grow up in your teenage years. Hey, Jew boy, why do you keep that Saturday Sabbath? I'm sorry, my throat's kind of weak today. But people will call you names. You'll be ridiculed. You'll be condemned. You'll be made fun of. And it's not easy to smile and say, "It's my God teaches me about the Sabbath," and maybe try to convert these people, because you'll have a tendency to do that sometimes as you're growing into knowledge. And then your friends will turn on you, and they'll call you all kinds of names sometimes. So the walk of life is not always easy. Our natural inclination is to go a different path, as I mentioned. We sometimes think we know the way. But over in Romans, let's look at Romans. Romans 8. Romans 8, and let's look at verse 7. Here again, as we're growing up, and coming in the teenage years, we're going to be making decisions. Decisions, are we going to remain in the faith? Are we going to continue to do the things we've been taught as a child growing up? Or will we turn from God's way of life and choose to live our own lifestyle? Alternative lifestyle. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. So the carnal mind. Now, I realize as a teenager, you're growing in grace and knowledge. Okay, you don't have the Holy Spirit yet. You haven't received it because you haven't been baptized. But as a teenager, the carnal mind is still there. And you can be pulled by the ways of the world. Society will tempt you and try to get you to come back to their way of life. Or as some say, the dark side. But we understand that if your parents continue to teach you, somewhere you're going to come to a crossroad, okay? You're either going to have to go left or you're going to have to go right. If you go left, you may go to the ways of the world. If you go right, you may remain in the church and the teachings and living and continuing your journey of life. You have to choose. Now, some teenagers will say, well, why do I have to choose? Well, that's part of life. Life is made of choices. And the journey will be hard at times. And it's hard to know which is the best path. Because your friends will pull you and say, come on, let's go play basketball Friday night. Come on, let's go do this. Let's party. Let's do this. And it's enticing. It's exciting to have friends and do things. But if they're going to lead you down the wrong path, you'll be walking a different path. So you're going to have to choose as a teenager when you get to that crossroad. And when will that be? It varies for each and every one of us. Some cross that crossroad at age 13. Some at 15. Some at 18 and 19. But somewhere along the line, you're going to have to come to that crossroad and make a decision. I hope your foundation is strong. I hope you choose the right choice. Now, we can't force you to remain faithful and hold on to the truth. That's a decision you have to make. But the journey of life as a teenager can be rewarding. Is living this way of life worth it? I want you to think about that. Is it worth it? In the face of such difficult and sometimes questions as to whether it's worth the effort to live a godly life. And people have gone down that crossroad and they chose to go away. And again, it's a personal choice. As a teenager and you grow up, you will have to make that choice. But I want to encourage you to make the right choice. Your parents are pulling for you. Your cousins are pulling for you. Your aunts and uncles are pulling for you. Your grandparents are pulling for you. You have support. You have encouragement. You have direction. As I mentioned, the Bible is our instruction and our essential guide for life. So when you get to that point, consider all the avenues. And when you make your choice, ask God for guidance and wisdom. Now, as we progress in our journey of life, and we go from the teenage years, to suddenly we'd start working. And we find ourselves, what am I going to do for work? Well, I have a job history list, and I found this to be very interesting. A friend of mine gave this to me, and I'm going to read it to you. It's a little far-fetched, but it's interesting, and I just bring it out, add a little humor. My first job was working in an orange juice factory, but I got canned because I couldn't concentrate. Then I worked in the woods as a lumberjack, but I just couldn't hack it, so they gave me the axe. After that, I tried to be a tailor, but I just wasn't suited for it, because mainly it was a so-so job. Next, I tried working in a muffler factory, but that was exhausting. I wanted to be a barber, but I just couldn't cut it. Then I tried to be a chef. I figured it would add a little spice to my life, but I just didn't have the thyme. That's a herb. Spice. Finally, I attempted to be a deli worker, but any way I sliced it, I just couldn't cut the mustard. My best job was being a musician, but eventually I found I wasn't noteworthy. I studied for a long, long time to become a doctor, but I didn't have any patients. Next was a job at a shoe factory. I tried, but I just didn't fit in. I became a professional fisherman, and Jake would like this one, but discovered that I couldn't live on my net income. I managed to get a good job working for a pool maintenance company, but the work was just too draining. I got a job at a zoo feeding giraffes, but I was fired because I wasn't up to it. Up to it. So then I got a job in a gymnasium working out center, but they said I wasn't fit for the job. Next, I found being an electrician was interesting, but the work was shocking. Anybody who falls in that category can kind of vouch for that. After many years of trying to find steady work, I finally got a job as a historian, but then I found there was no future in it. My last job was working at Starbucks, but I had to quit because I was always the same old grind. And then it says, P.S., finally I found a job that is absolutely wonderful. I'm installing garage doors, even though it has its ups and downs. So I found that very interesting. It's called Job History. Well, brethren, after we go through our teenage years and we suddenly find ourselves out in the work field, we may find ourselves in some of these categories, looking for work, finding work, and finding that we just can't hack it, or we may not fit in, or perhaps we just couldn't handle it. But that's part of the journey of life. We go into the work field. And brethren, we can find success. The Bible teaches us success in the work field. We have to be diligent and hardworking. And employers will watch for things like that. If you're a hard worker and a diligent worker, you'll find that they will be very pleased with you as a worker. And you may find your advancement within a company that you work for. And down the process of time, you may even find yourself into a management position. So how you face the work field is very important, and the Bible will give you good and sound advice in the work field. So again, as we progress with our journey of life, we will have to make a living. Now, as we're making a living, eventually we get into our 20s, 20 plus years. Sometimes they're some of the best years because we have so many opportunities. Marriage comes along. Children come along with marriage. And it's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for each and every one of us as we reach our 20s and perhaps 30s, depending on when you get married. Some people get married at a latter stage of life. Some get married at an earlier stage of life, in the teenage years. But for the average individual, it's usually in the 20s. And you'll find that marriage in the Bible, again, some very sound, wise advice for each and every one of us as we walk the journey of life. Marriage can be happy, it can be joyous, it can be wonderful. But if we're headstrong and we're demanding and we're overbearing, which sometimes husbands can be or sometimes wives can be, it puts stress on a marriage. Is that wrong? It can be. Because marriages have broken up, even in the church. Where individuals both profess to be Christians, there have been marriages that have broken up. But brethren, as you're reaching the years of your 20s, and you're thinking marriage, or if you're already married, which many of us are here in the congregation, we are in that process, let's use the Bible for guidance and direction, for encouragement. One another. Our mates should be our closest friend. I mentioned about marrying Linda. When we were teenagers, we grew up together. And we shared a lot of activities together, and she can tell you some of the stories, the good as well as the funny ones. I won't go into some of those, but anyway, life is a joy. It really is. And if you marry the right person, okay, and that's where you gotta ask God for wisdom to find a mate. I hope you just don't rush out and marry the first one that comes along that you date. And some have, and I should say that's some of the mistakes you make along the way. Individuals marry the first person that they date. But if you seek wisdom, which the Bible will give you, if you seek advice that the Bible will teach us, we can ask God in prayer to provide a mate. And parents, I want to encourage you to ask God to find the right mate for your child. Now, many children are small, so there's still many years ahead. But don't wait till they're already into their teens or early 20s to start praying for a mate. They may already found someone that they liked, and next thing you know, they're talking about marrying, and you start, what? You're going to marry who? You might be surprised. Again, that's part of the journey of life. When we never know where it's going to take us. But we know there is an end result, If we make poor decisions, we will suffer consequences. But if we make wise decisions, we can rejoice and enjoy the happy years of marriage and the wonderful years of teaching and raising children. Now, as we progress in life, we go into our mid-30s, 40s. Suddenly, we're well-established in work. Our children are growing up. They may marry. Suddenly, we find ourselves grandparents as we get into the 40s and maybe 50s. And it's a wonderful, joyous time again that each and every one of us has the opportunity. The Bible talks about the gray hair. Okay? That's the seniors that's among us. And some gray early, some gray later. None of us know when when that happens. Yeah, we all have that. We all will eventually age. But again, as we progress, if we hold on to the teachings and we continue to use the Bible as our guide, our essential need for our journey of life, brethren, we will rejoice with grandparents. We will rejoice being grandparents and having grandchildren. Our children will always be part of us. Our grandchildren will always be part of us. Our nephews, our nieces, our cousins, our brothers, our sisters are always going to be part of us. And in the process, in the journey of life, sometimes we lose a brother. Sometimes we lose a sister. But that doesn't mean they're not part of us. They're still part of us. And they always will be. And so if we happen to lose a brother or a sister along the way, and that could be physically or spiritually, we continue to pray for those that we lose perhaps spiritually, but physically, never give up on anyone along the way. Our journey is filled with prayers. Our journey is constantly besieging God for the welfare and benefits of all those that we come in contact with. And that's one of the joys of the journey of life. We will meet many individuals. Many individuals will cross our path. And so we'll have plenty of opportunities to meet new people. And also we'll lose individuals along the way. Individuals will die. And that's part of the journey of life. As we progress into the 60s and 70s, 80s, 90s. How long will we live? None of us know. Will we live to a ripe age of 90? I would say yes, some of us probably will. Will we live a short life? I can say probably some of us will. That only God knows. But brethren, let's rejoice together. Let's continue our journey of life together, encouraging one another, to help one another. And as we come to the end of our life, the final end of the journey, as some have said, we struggle sometimes and say, was the journey worth it? I hope you can say it was, that the journey was well worth it, because at the end of the journey is the kingdom of God. The kingdom will be established. Jesus Christ will return, and he'll set up his government, and we will have an opportunity of being in the kingdom of God. But only those who have the Spirit will be in the kingdom of God. Now it says, be careful. The Bible warns us not to quench the Spirit. So can we lose the Spirit? Absolutely. Even David knew that. And he said, don't take your Spirit from me. So even David knew it back in the early times of the Bible. And in the New Testament, it warns us again not to become weary in well-doing. So as we meet individuals along the path of life, the journey of life, let's rejoice with one another. Let's encourage one another. And let's look forward to the kingdom. And for those who have died and are in the grave waiting for the resurrection, we will have a unique opportunity of seeing them once again in the kingdom. And that is something we're all looking forward to. Brethren, our journey of life sometimes seems very short. And it goes by very quickly. I remember my children and thinking 18 years, I'll have 18 years with my son and daughter. Well, my son is 36, 37. Okay, 36. I have to think sometimes, 36 years have gone by so quickly. And my daughter's 34. Where did the years go? Our journey went by so quickly. And yet it's a rejoicing time. It's a time that I can look back and say, the Bible has been our guide in our lives, and I hope it will be your guide in your life. You need the essential guidance that the Bible provides for you if you're going to be in the kingdom of God. I hope that you take it seriously, those who are teenagers, as you continue into your journey of life. And in the end, when there's the spirit beings in the kingdom, that's another journey which we'll have the opportunity of experiencing.